if it wasn't for resurrection morning, there would be no point in being here today. There'd be no point in reading your Bible. That was the day that God was looking forward to. That was the day, the greatest day in the history of man, was the day when Jesus rose from the dead. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas or Peter, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep or died. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen also by me also, as by one born out of due time. Verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Can you see why the resurrection is the event? You know, we just had Good Friday where we celebrated the death of Jesus on the cross. And what a day that was. When Jesus died, he took upon himself all our sin and all the wrong we've done and paid the penalty for it. That was a great day. That was a wonderful day. Thank God for the cross. I believe that the most horrible part of the cross was not the physical torture, but it was for the sinless one to take upon himself your sin and mine. That was the most horrible thing. Everything we did, everything humanity did, all the ugly things and horrible sins brought more pain to him than the physical pain of his body. But he paid the price because God wanted us back. And he needed somebody, the sinless one, to give his life for the guilty ones. And so, the cross, what a day that was. What a day that was. But Resurrection Day is a day where everything changed. You know, a lot of people give their lives for other people. And not that I want to diminish what Jesus did on the cross. But only one rose from the dead. Never to die again. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus was dead for 3. But Lazarus died again. But Jesus lives forevermore. And that changed the whole history of mankind. There was a shift in the heavenlies that day when the doors to the throne room swung open and God started welcoming us in. He was the first, and we'll read that in a little further down. He was the first, but after him we followed. As we accepted him, we accepted his sacrifice. People piled in and keep on piling in. Because he's the one that died but lives. And so we die to our sin and our old nature that is so selfish and self-seeking. And we rise up in a new life. And the Apostle Paul says, I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me and through me. And that changed the whole thing for humanity. Now there's hope. Okay. And he says there in verse 14, that if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Can you imagine life without faith? Can you how in the world can we have victory over our problems and our situations if we don't have faith in one who has the ability to pull us out? I look back over my own life, and I'm sure you do when you look over your lives. You see some obstacles that you had to face, and you wonder, how am I going to win this thing? And instead of changing direction, we said, I'm going straight to the goal because of purpose. And win. Because I put my trust in the one who knew the answer and pulled us out again. Faith in God. Faith in God who has the ability, who has the answer. Faith in the one who conquered death. We put our trust in him, and now we become winners. And the Apostle Paul writes and he says, thank God that in Christ we are more than conquerors. We can win. We can win. Those troubles that you face, those difficult circumstances that you face, you can win. Because he won. And you put your faith in him. We don't say it's going to be easy, but you'll win. He'll win. You stick to it, you'll win. We always win in him. And so our faith is not empty. Our faith has substance, and our faith has power, because it's not in us, it's anchored in God. Verse 15, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Well, that's a big truth. It says if we don't believe that there's a resurrection waiting on us when we die, our bodies die, then Christ didn't rise. And so our lives become so intertwined with his that because he rose from the dead, we rise from the dead. Because he had a resurrection, we have a resurrection. And that gives us hope. Now I tell you, if we don't have that hope, then life on earth will be very different. If I know there's nothing after my body dies, there's a lot of other things I can rather do. You have to get the most out of life because that's all there is. That is all you'll ever get. And that's why a lot of people live that way. They don't care how they live. They don't care how they treat other people because this is all there is. And who cares anyway? But when you know that life eternal is a reality, then life eternal starts the moment you put your trust in him. And it takes on a whole different meaning. It takes on a whole different meaning. There's a quality to that life because it goes beyond the grave. It's not just a body. It's not just a pile of flesh that breathes. There's a spirit on the inside that lives forevermore. And because he lives, we live. We're connected with him. We have hope. We have hope. Without hope, there's no reason to live. Without hope, what shall we do without hope? People commit suicide when they have no hope. There's no reason to live. There's no purpose to life. But because he lives, our lives are different. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. Now look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men the most pitiable. That is true. That is true. If we put our trust in Him only to have a good life now, it's the most pitiable thing you can ever think of. Thank God there's a lot more to that. There's a lot more to than life on earth, life in the flesh. Oh, what a terrible tragedy it is when people live only for life in the flesh. What a poor and empty life that is when people live only for life in the flesh. What a short-lived thing that is. With no outlook, no future. If this is all there is. This is all there is. Now, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is risen from the dead. I sometimes think about Jesus and I wonder why people hate His name. I wonder why they hate Him. Because He's never done bad to anybody. He's never done a bad thing to anybody. And they hate Him. They're going to public places. They pray to God. But they won't say the name of Jesus. Which means, I don't know which God you're praying to. I have no idea which God you're praying. You can be praying to, I don't know what kind of God you think of. Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except through Me. And they have issues with Jesus. And all He did was good. You don't have to accept His offer if you don't want to. It's an offer. It's not an obligation. And yet they hate Him. They're embarrassed of Him. The one who was willing to lay down His life, they're embarrassed to use His name in public places. Jesus said, if you're embarrassed and ashamed of My name, I'll be ashamed to mention your name in front of My Father. He died for us. And He rose again for us. And gave meaning to our lives. Now, I don't know if you read the local newspaper, and I won't mention the name, but it says here, this is an ad that you got in your paper at home this last week. Having trouble believing Jesus rose from the dead, you're not alone. The good news is there is so much more to the story when you take it beyond the literal. So now it's not literal. Jesus didn't literally die, and there were two of these. The other one said that God is not a bloodthirsty God, something to that effect, that demands blood sacrifices. So Jesus didn't die to set you free. Progressive Christianity seeks to understand how the first followers of Jesus understood the resurrection before theologians hijacked that story. Come and explore with us as we rethink Christianity. Hear the story without ignoring current scholarship or science in a place where all questions are welcome. Well, you could. While we are looking at the resurrection this morning, there are churches today where they tell you it didn't happen in this town. You don't have to go around the globe for that. Christian churches believe that Jesus didn't die for us and was not raised from the dead. Now, if you are willing to cut out certain parts out of the Bible, you can take the whole entire Bible and put it in the trash. It's garbage. Why would you take some parts of it and others not? And how do you discern what to receive and what not? And what reason would you have the Bible for if you don't believe? If your faith is empty and you have no outlook for life and eternity, why bother reading the Bible or going to church? I won't. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to sit in a church just to be religious. Religion stinks. but faith is alive and powerful and meaningful and gives purpose to life. And oh boy, we've been around too long to be fooled by that. And we have dug deep in this treasure, which is the Word of God, and found too much to turn our backs on that. We have seen the practical power of it too often to say, well, it's all a coincidence. Oh, and it changed our lives. Look, you would not want to see me standing here before Jesus changed me. No. That would not be the right thing to do. To have this man standing here BC, before Christ. No. I don't think I would have made it here anyway. I would have been in long-term prison. That's what my own parents said of me. But the change that Jesus brings to a life is a reality. When I tell people today of what I was like, they can't believe it. I'm telling you, that's true. Very, very true. It's a reality. When He touches your life, you change. You can never be the same after He touched you. And you change from the inside out. And those affections that you had change. And those appetites you had change. And all those miserable feelings. I remember some of those days when I woke up in the morning. I was just a bad-tempered person. Miserable. And just hated to wake up in the morning and face another day. And what a wonderful feeling now is to wake up in the morning and say, thank God, there's another day. We've got things to do. We've got things to do. And the things we do last for eternity. Oh, those lives that we touch with the truth of God's Word will change lives forever. And suddenly life has meaning, and life has joy, and life has purpose. And all because of one thing, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and He conquered death itself. That great fear of man, the one thing that all men fear, He took away. And now life is one long, eternal joy in the presence of Him who paid the price to set us free. Oh, our minds were never designed to figure out God. Our minds were never designed to understand God or to question His wisdom or to question His existence. He was there long before we came. And we may be very impressed with our IQ, but God looks down on that. And He says, I'll use the foolish ones to put to shame the wise. I'm going to put purpose in them, and I'll put my wisdom in them, and they can rise up above everybody else. And that became possible just for one thing, that Jesus was raised from the dead and gave meaning and purpose to our lives. Resurrection morning. What a great an awesome moment that was. Verse 21, for since by man came death, that's Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. You have to be His. You have to be His. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. He has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it's evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. That's God. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, here's a verse that confused a bunch of people, verse 39. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? Now, you cannot build a doctrine on one verse. And the Bible gives us no instruction to baptize ourselves for dead people. Why not? Because they need to make their own decision. You can't make a decision for somebody who died. They had the time to make their decision. But some got confused. But he says even though they're confused, they believe that there's life after death, and that's why they do that. Verse 30, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. You know that in those days that Paul lived, it was kind of a sport to throw men to wild animals and let them fight with them. And it was a sport. Everybody came to watch that. And he fought with animals. He says, why would I do that? Why would I do that? And jeopardize myself if there's nothing, there's no reason to do that. Why would you do that? Why would you fight with a lion in the Colosseum? Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself through that if there's no reason or purpose for it? Why would you do that? You only do that when you believe. That's the only reason why, because you believe. You believe. You've been touched. You cannot doubt anymore because your life has been touched by his resurrection life. Your life has been touched. And you cannot doubt. You know, I've been around this for a long time. And there were times, you know, your spiritual life sometimes goes up and down and up and down like that. But even in the down places, in the lower places of life, I could not doubt that Jesus is alive. Now I slipped up and got involved in things that I should not do and stuff like that, like we do sometimes. But because when he touched my life was such an experience, I can never doubt it. I can never doubt it. There was a day, I can't forget it. He touched me. It was an experience that I cannot forget. And even though there were times when I stood a little farther from him, I could not deny him because of that experience. Can't forget it. The change that he brings. Verse 32, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And to be honest with you, that's what I will do. Why bother? But because he touched you, you fall in love with him. Because he paid the price that you could not pay. You cling to him. And you hold on to him. And you want to be with him and please him. And that changes the way we live. I don't know. I'm not scared to die. I think about that often. When I travel in far places, I sometimes think, you know, airplanes fall. Things happen, you know. I've just been in a country where people are getting killed and it's vicious there and dangerous. I think about that and I think, well, you know what? If I have to die in the service of the Lord, that's a great way to go. I'll go. Because the fear of death has been dealt with. And resurrection life has touched me on the inside. And to lay down the body is not the worst thing there is. Because you never die. You never really die. There's resurrection power working in us. Oh, Paul writes to Ephesians. He prays for the Ephesian church in chapter 1. There from verse 17 on, that prayer we know so well. He says, resurrection power is working towards you. It continues to touch you, continues to touch you, continues to touch you. And if the devil comes and he stomps on you, resurrection power will lift you up. Well, if death can't beat you, what can? That's the final answer to those who have no faith. That's the final thing. It's final. Not if you put your trust in Him. That's a bump in the road. That's a little bump in the road. Life goes on because of resurrection power. Praise God. Verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company. What is evil company? To be found, evil company is the company of people who don't believe. It will corrupt good habits. Says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You spend time with those who don't believe and you allow them to influence you, it will corrupt good habits that might cost you. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let's keep some verses here. He's talking about our resurrection. Let's read 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it the body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, and so on. And there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is one, is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Oh, Adam was the federal head of a race of people that were separated from God. They died spiritually. Dead. No connection with God. Paul says they were alienated from the life of God. They had no covenants with God. They had no business with God. They were doing their own thing and they were suffering because they separated themselves from the source of life. They were spiritually dead. Adam, the first Adam, the federal head, everybody that was born out of him, the same dead as he was. But then there came a new Adam, the last Adam. The last Adam. He's the federal head of another type of race. His race is like him, people who first died and then rose again. No, he's the last Adam. And if you die to yourself and you allow him to live in you and through you, then you become part of his race. And he's a life-giving spirit. He's a life-giving spirit. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. I love that word. Be steadfast. Established. Established. You cannot be moved. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be deceived. Paul says, you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, because you're steadfast. Why shall we be steadfast? Because we have hope beyond the grave. Why shall we be steadfast? Because we have purpose. We have a life filled with meaning. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to leave us with this exhortation this morning. Therefore, well, therefore, what for? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the center of the gospel message. That's the reason why this whole Bible was written, for this one thing. Jesus was raised from the dead. And when the devil sowed death through Adam's disobedience, Jesus came and he brought life back. Therefore, let's be steadfast, immovable. Let's be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're not abounding in the work of the Lord, I exhort you this morning, abound in the work of the Lord. You are laying up for yourself. Remember, we didn't go into that, we don't have time, but he says, the one star differs in glory from the other one. You want your star to shine brightly. This is where you do it. This is where you do it. Abounding in the work of the Lord. This is how you do it. Abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't see our ministry, the ministry, you know, that we have entered into as work. I don't see that as work. It's a lifestyle. That's my reason for living. I find it interesting sometimes to see that there are trade unions for pastors. And I think, you know, why in the world? You know, how do you bring that together? if I'm limited, if our board tells me you're limited to work 9 to 5, I'll go somewhere else. I'm not into 9 to 5 stuff. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's the reason why we live. Without that, what shall we do? But we go into the presence of the Lord. And what a day that's going to be. I don't know about you. I don't want to take chances on this. But I'm going to stand before the resurrected Jesus. I'm going to see him face to face. It's not a let's hope thing. Oh no, that's faith. That's faith. Immovable, steadfast, unshakable faith. A day will come when you and I will stand there. And you'll see the one who paid the price. You'll see the one who paid the price. You'll see the one who went down and the devil thought, I have him. I have him. Nobody escapes from Hades. Nobody. I have him. It's done. And he beat him down and stood up from that grave. And we're going to see him face to face. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. I live for that day. I live for that day. You know, we don't have a lot of rewards here on earth. And I don't have anything against people who have wonderful rewards. I bless them. I want them to have it. But I'm working for that one thing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what I'm working. The greatest paycheck you can ever get. The greatest award anybody can ever give you. Well done. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, and continue to abound in the work of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you rose from the dead. You conquered that last enemy, the death, the fear of man. And instead, you put your peace into us and gave us joy and a reason to live and a reason to die. Eternal life, resurrection life, working towards you this morning. Let's close your eyes. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand before you this morning on this day, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day, the day when we celebrate that greatest day in the history of man, when you rose from the dead, the first fruits, but not the last fruits. And open the door for us that we may all walk in and be reconciled and receive eternal life. And this morning, as every eye is closed and all our heads are bowed, I would just ask you to look into your own heart this morning. Just look into your own heart this morning. Don't look around. This is not about the person next to you. It's not about their opinion. This is very personal about your life. Have you received that resurrection life yet? It's the question you need to ask to yourself this morning. And that answer is no. Then you can have it this morning. You can walk out of here and be a brand new creature. You can be a brand new person this morning just by doing that. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, it's not about joining the church. We're not talking about church here now. We're talking about you and the resurrected Jesus. That's what we're talking about. If you cannot say, I have received that life yet, and you want to, then quickly raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. We're not going to put you on the spot. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But I just want to pray with you. And help you this morning to receive him. I'm just going to give half a minute. See, if there's anyone here who needs to do that today, you need to make sure about your eternal future. This is an opportunity today. There's no guarantee there'll be another opportunity tomorrow or any other day. This is the day. This is a day of salvation. This is a day of good news. This is a day of new beginnings. Quickly raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. You're not going to embarrass anybody. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit's working. He's touching hearts. He's touching hearts. And I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to pray now. Hands went up. And I'm going to pray, and I trust Him to continue to knock at the door of every heart, every one of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and look up into the eyes of a loving Father, one who cares about us, one who has great ideals for us, a wonderful purpose, a life with meaning, and eternal future. And I pray for those who open their hearts, and I pray for those who still have to open their hearts, that you continue to knock at those doors.
Yes.
Continue to offer that new life. Continue. Don't let them go. Don't let them go. Don't let them miss you. Don't let them miss eternity without you, with you. Thank you, Lord, that you touch those hearts who open to you this morning. And come with your cleansing blood. And wash them white as snow. And fill them with your own joy. They'll become their strength. And give them a new reason to live, a new appetite, a new affection for life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.